Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin, Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Hu Gavra, the Zavla Nechsei Dat L'Meis Adetz Yisrael. Somebody sold property because it was an intention to go move to Eretz Yisrael. Ubedna the Zavin, however, when he sold the property, L'Yom V'Lamidi, he didn't say that he's selling the property for that reason. He just sold the property. And then something came up that he wasn't able to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to nullify the sale. He wants to say that the only reason he sold the property is because he was intending to move to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, have a dvarim shebelev. Since he didn't expressly say at the time of the sale that he's selling it because he intends to go to Eretz Yisrael, have dvarim shebelev. It's something that wasn't articulated, and dvarim shebelev, the halacha is ein and dvarim aren't considered valid dvarim. So Rashi explains that what happened here was the mochas karkosov, he sold property, and we're going to have the discussion. Well, what would be if he did clearly indicate that that's the reason he's selling? That maybe the halacha would be different. But say to all the mefarshim that Rashi clearly indicated there was mocher karkosov, he sold property. That's where we can have a question. If he indicated that he was selling it because he was moving to Eretz Yisrael, will the sale be a sale? Will it not be a sale? But in a case, they say, where he sold metatlin, even if he was moving, it wouldn't be a valid sale. So Tysus asks a question that we've learned throughout Shas, that the halacha is that a tanai, to be considered a valid tanai, has to be a tanai kafel. It has to be that you say both sides of the tanai. Here, you didn't say both sides of the tanai. So if you didn't say, I'm selling it if I'll go, and if I don't go, it shouldn't be a sale, even if it was clear and it was articulated that he's selling because he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, why would the sale be considered, why would it be considered a reason to nullify the sale? It's not a tanai kafel. So based on this, Tysus wants to say that only by dine mominis, only in certain cases is a tanai kafel required. Not in all cases is a tanai kafel going to be required. Where it's obvious what your intentions are, even though you didn't say it as a tanai kafel, it will be a valid tanai. And the raya Tosis brings to that halacha is sukkos. We know that on sukkos, to be yotze the mitzvah on the first day of sukkos, the halacha of the first 2 days of sukkos, the halacha is v'lakachtem lochem. The esrig, the dalminim have to belong to you. What happens if a person doesn't have dalminim? So the halacha is we give somebody else the dalminim with a matana amnas lahachzer. We give him the esrig, and there's a stipulation, amnas lahachzer, you have to give it back to me. So when people do this all the time, you don't see that people should articulate and say very clearly that it's being given a manas lahachzer. It's understood that that's what's meant, even though it's not being said with a tanai kafel. So we see from here that not every tanai requires that it should be said with a tanai kafel, that it should be have the halacha of a tanai. Ask the Gemara. So now the Gemara has established a halacha that's very well known. The halacha of dvarim shebelev, something that I thought, but I didn't say, dvarim shebelev are not considered dvarim. Ask the Gemara, Menalei Rava Ha. Ask the Gemara, from where does Rava know this halacha? Ilema, says the Gemara, Ihad Tanan, if we'll say from what the Pasuk says, regarding somebody bringing a carbon. The Pasuk says, Yakrav Oisoi, and those words are superfluous, because the Pasuk says already, Zocha Tamim, Yakraveno. Says the Malamed, Shekoifen Oisoi, Bal Karchoi. If somebody pledged to bring a carbon, we force him to bring. We force him to bring the carbon. We would think we could force a person to. How do we reconcile? Do we force him? Don't we force him? We force him until he says he wants to do it. But why would that be acceptable? We know that this person doesn't want to bring it. We know he doesn't want to bring the carbon. He's only doing it because he's being forced. The fact, I only have to pay attention to what he said. And if he said that he's happy to bring the carbon, that's all that counts. The Dilma says, well, maybe that's not the same. Dilma Shani Hassam, the Anan Sadi, the Nichlei B'Kapara. There it's different because we really know that every person wants to do what's right. What happens is that the Yetzer Hara gets in the way. So since the right thing for him to do is fulfill his pledge and bring the carbon, that's why we accept what he says. But I saw that there are many that suggest, we know that the minig is that, by Chassidim particularly, before they do a mitzvah, they say the L'Shem Yichud. And they don't necessarily, not necessarily do we always understand the words of L'Shem Yichud. So we don't necessarily understand the words of L'Shem Yichud. Why do we say it? So they say because in the lev, what's doing in the Jew's heart, we have the concept of the dvarim shebelev and the dvarim. But we know what is said is more powerful than what's thought. So the way to accomplish that there should be no question is by articulating the L'Shem Yichud. What is the concept of behind this of Kofen Oysa Achiyom Rotsani? So all the Mepharshim say a very similar vart. The vart they say is that really every Jew wants to do what's right. Just what happens is that sometimes, unfortunately too often, the Yetzer Hara gets in the way. Kofen Oysa Achiyom Rotsani, what we accomplish with the Kofen Oysa Achiyom Rotsani is that the person's true self comes out. And the person's true self is that he wants to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of him to do. In fact, I saw that the Meshech Chochma and the Alshech say that the Yetzer Hara is what gets in the way, and the Kaifin is we do whatever we can to take the Yetzer Hara out of our way. And based on this, the Beis Halevi and Parshas Yitzroy explains the famous Maimon Chazal, Lo'olam Yasek Adam B'Torah Shloi L'Shma, Shemetoch L'Shma, Lo'olam L'Shma, Ba'al L'Shma. So he says, how could Chazal tell us to learn Torah Shloi L'Shma? But he explains that by a person learning Torah Shloi L'Shma, what does that mean? What that learning Torah Shloi L'Shma means is that you push the Yetzer Hara out of the way. Once you push the Yetzer Hara out of the way, you will be left with Torah Lishma. Ella, says the Gemara, we're back to where do we know the concept of Dvarim Shebelev ain't a Dvarim, Masefa, from the Brais, V'kenat Tamaitza, B'gitei Nashim, V'shechurei Avodim. By a get, that Bezdin forces somebody to divorce his wife, or somebody Bezdin forces them to free his slave, and he doesn't do so, we force him until he does what Bezdin says. So here, again, the same question. He's really not satisfied. So he's doing it only under duress. We must say, because here we see Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. Says the Gemara, that isn't a compelling proof. Because Dilma Shani Hasam, there it's different. Shun the mitzvah l'shmaya divrei chachamim. One has to do what Chazal teaches us. And because the person has to do what Chazal teaches us, so the Gemara is saying the same concept that we're learning throughout. What that means is that he wants to do what's right. Every Jew wants to do what's right. And what's right to do is to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, wants us to do. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do is what the Chachamim tell us to do. And I saw that the Yismach Moshe says that even though throughout Shas we know that if somebody does something ba'oinus under duress, it's not considered halachically valid. He says this is not considered oinus. On the contrary, he says what this is considered is that we take away all the outer barriers, the different things that get in the way. And by taking away all the different things that get in the way, that's how we'll do what we're supposed to do. And I actually saw that that's also pshat why we daven and we're supposed to say the words. Because sometimes we chas v'shalom daven and we don't have the proper kavana. So how could that tefillah be considered a valid tefillah? The answer is by saying the words of the tefillah, it takes away all the other things that are in the way from our tefillah to be considered a valid tefillah. So the Gemara is still trying to find the source for Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. Elam Rabbi Yosef Mehocha. We learned in a Mishnah, we're going to learn on Daf Samach Beis Amin Aleph. HaMekadosh Tzisha, V'amak Sova K'shi Kahenes. I thought that she's a Kahenes, and it turns out she's a Levia. Or, I thought she's a Levia. I thought she's a Nia, she's poor. Verei Ashirin, she's actually wealthy. Ashira, I thought that she's wealthy. And actually, Harei Nia. She didn't say anything to mislead him. It was his own mistake. But ask the Gemara, Vamai, why is that? Why? He's saying that I made this mistake. Why don't we pay attention to what he's saying? It must be Elam Shem Damrinan. The fact that he didn't say it, the fact that he only thought it, is not considered relevant la'alocha. Amal Abaya. So Abaya says, that isn't necessarily raya. We're not invalidating the marriage. We're saying that the marriage is a sofik kedushin. And since that it's sofik kedushin, some Rishonim explain, we're not going to already accept that he's not married. We have to be concerned because we can't just accept what he says. El Amar Bai Mehocha, Bekulam, all the cases that we just mentioned, Abish Amar in our Mishnah that we mentioned where the Kedusha was made under a false premise, the Halacha is Abish Amar Belibi Hoisi Lekadosh Af Pikein, where the wife says, it doesn't make a difference if he misled me. I wanted to marry him anyway. The halacha is Eidim Kadeshes. And the question is, but she's saying, Vamai, Hakamer Belibi Hayo. She says, I intended to marry him no matter what. So we see what she says that I had in mind to marry him no matter what is irrelevant. Says the Gemara, Dal Mishani Hasam. Maybe there it's different. The Kiv and the Asnate, since there was a clear stipulation attached to the marriage, Lav Kol Kamino, Dakal El Tanoi. She doesn't have the ability to take words of clear Tanai and make them go away. And as the Rishash explains, that even if we'll say, Dvarim Shebelev have Dvarim, even if we'll pay attention to what somebody thought, something that is said is much stronger than something that was thought. And therefore, since here it was said this way, we can't just ignore it. Ella Amar of Chibar Ava, of the Havaber of Chizda, there was a story by Rav Chizda where somebody sold all of his property on the intention to move to Eretz Yisrael, but when he did the sale, he did not sell. And some Rav Chizda by Rav Huna, and then he didn't end up going to Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara of Rav Chizda by Rav Huna. Rav Chizda went and asked the question to Rav Huna, what do we do? He wants to nullify the sale because he ended up not moving. Upashtu, and they told him, Miha, from the Mishnah Masech to Mi'ila. As we have learned, Mi'ila is different than all other cases. Mi'ila, even though we've learned that normally the rule is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, you can't appoint a Shliach to do a Dvar Aveira. By Mi'ila, if somebody asks a Shliach to do Mi'ila, the person who told him to do the Mi'ila will be held responsible. So the Mishnah Masech to Mi'ila, Daf Chof Aleph Amun Aleph teaches us, bring me this bag from the window or from the stand, the viloi, and he brings it to him. And then it turns out, bring me this money, and it turns out that it was Hegdish. I didn't mean that you should bring the money which is Hegdish. Once he did what he was instructed, the Baal HaBayis mo'. So we see that what he says, I thought differently, is ignored. But says the Gemara, v'amai, hakam believe. He says, this is not what I meant. Allah, from here we see that meaning, dvarim shebelev are not dvarim, we don't pay attention. Says the Gemara, how can we bring a raya from that story? Maybe what he was doing over there, the reason he said it is he never thought that way. But now he's being told that you violated Me'ilah. And because you violated Me'ilah, you're going to have to bring a carbon. So he's looking for a way to shani hasom, the lemifta nafshi mekarbon kasi. He's trying to get out of having to have to bring the carbon. Says the Gemara, he could have, if that's what his real goal is, he could have done something else. Hava lemeim amezit hava. So the Rishonim ask a question that he's saying that I didn't mean this and it shouldn't be Me'ilah. And we're saying that he's only saying it to get out of bringing the carbon. But maybe what he's saying is true. And if what he's saying is true, he's not allowed to bring the carbon. And if he's not allowed to bring the carbon, then if he's not supposed to bring the carbon, because it really isn't the case of Me'ilah, then he's not allowed to bring the carbon. Because a person who is not supposed to bring the carbon Me'ilah, it's not just that doesn't have to, he's not allowed to if you're not obligated to do it. So the Rishonim answer, indeed, that this person who's going to make this declaration that I did not mean this wallet will not bring the carbon, because it will be Chulin Bazara if he's really not obligated to bring the carbon. When the Gemara and the Mishnah, Masechta Me'ilah, says that he's obligated, it only means that he has to pay the Keren V'chaymish that you have to pay for Me'ilah. That we can obligate him. We can't make him bring a carbon if he indeed is claiming that he didn't do Me'ilah. So ask the Gemara, but if he wanted to get out of bringing the carbon, he could have said, Havalei L'meim, Mezer Hava, because the halacha is that when somebody is amazed, you don't bring a carbon Me'ilah. And so the Gemara, that he didn't want to say. Like Ovid Inish, the Mafshin Nafshin Rishia. People don't call themselves Rishoyim. To say that he did an Aveir B'mezid means that he's a Rasha. That people don't do. But says the Gemara, Havalei Loimer Niskarti. He could have said that I realized that the money that he was bringing was Hegdish. And the Braisa teaches us, Niska Baal Bayis, if before the Shlichus was fulfilled, the owner recognized, V'lei Niska Shliach. So now the Shliach is no longer halachically considered a Shliach of the Meshaleach. Because the moment the Shliach recognized, he's saying that I don't want him to be my Shliach. And they had a Shliach mo. And therefore, if he wanted to get out of the carbon, he could have gotten out of the carbon that way. Why don't we believe what? So therefore, we should believe him when he said, I didn't mean that. Well, the reason we don't believe him is, says the Gemara, now we have a proof, the Dvarim Shebelev, Loi have a dvarim. Says the Rajbo, when do we say the dvarim shebelev loi have a dvarim? That's only what he did and what he's saying contradict each other. But in a case where what he said and did don't contradict each other, so there we don't necessarily say dvarim shebelev loi have a dvarim. This is actually a very big machlokes, and not everybody. Agrees with that. Many suggest that dvarim shebelev lo have a dvarim under all circumstances. Says the Gemara, who gave the zivna l'nechesei dat l'meisik l'ar d'Yisrael? Somebody sold his property on the intention to move to Eretz Yisrael, solik, and he went to move to Eretz Yisrael l'izdalei, but he couldn't acclimate Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava called the solik a dat l'meidahu. He said that he's selling it because he's moving to Israel. And it's understood that meant that he'll be able to succeed in acclimating in Eretz Yisrael. And this person of Eloi is delay, since he couldn't acclimate in Eretz Yisrael, he comes home, the sale is void. Ikadamri, Adat Lemesik, he sold the property on the intention that he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Vasoliklei, and the sale is a sale. Says the Gemara similarly, Who gav the Zavla Nechse, Adat Lemesik, Eretz Yisrael, on the intention to move to Eretz Yisrael, L'soif L'solik, and then he didn't go. But he said he's selling it because he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Omer Avashi, he bought Solik. If he wanted to, he could have gone. And therefore, he can't back out. Ikad Amri, he bought L'solik. He could have, and therefore, the said, if the Rav Ashi said he boiled a solik, if he wanted, who stopped him from going? My benayu. So isn't both Lashonah saying the same? Ik benayu d'shalay ba'antz b'orcha. What would be if something beyond his control came up while he was traveling? So what would be the halacha? According to the first version, since he could still go, now there's something preventing him, but that will maybe stop. So therefore, the sale is a sale. According to the second version, v'chila yochul alus, who stopped him? But here, something did stop him. And since something stopped him, the sale becomes null and void. So the Ritva'an explained this Gemara, says the Ikka d'Amri holds that since he did not clearly indicate that he's selling it on the intention of going to Eretz Yisrael, that's why it becomes a discussion. But, says the Ritva, if the man clearly stated that his intentions are because he wants to live to Eretz Yisrael and not just travel there, the Ritva would agree that the sale was conditioned on his being able to successfully sell in Eretz Yisrael, and since it was conditioned on his successful living in Eretz Yisrael, if that didn't happen, the sale is void. The Torah disagrees and says that even where somebody said, my intention is to go live in Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't make a difference. If he couldn't make it, if he couldn't do well in Eretz Yisrael, the sale is valid. Furthermore, the Drisha says that in a case where it becomes impossible to settle in Eretz Yisrael, everybody would agree that the sale is not a valid sale. The question, he says, the whole machlokes in our Gemara is in a case where the living conditions were difficult. How does the halacha look at a situation where the living conditions are difficult? Is it a valid sale or not? The Chashuk Echemet, and that's the machlokes here. The Chashuk Echemet has an interesting discussion where somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael intended to go to Switzerland for vacation during the summer because it was very, very hot in Eretz Yisrael. And as he's going on the plane, as he's traveling, they tell him that the weather in Switzerland is very hot and you're really not accomplishing much by traveling to Eretz Yisrael. And he wants to be able to back out of the ticket and get a refund. Obviously, the entire question would only be relevant where he's dealing with an airline that is following the halacha. The question is that considered a valid reason to be able to back out? So he says that somebody who moves to Eretz Yisrael really intends to try to be able to successfully live in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, nobody forced him to go live in Eretz Yisrael. And since he really, that was his intention to go and make it work to live in Eretz Yisrael, and if then he goes and it doesn't work, so there's a good explanation why that sale should be null and void, because he did what he really wanted it to work. But in a case, says the Chashuk Echemet, when somebody says, I'm going to Switzerland because the weather is better, there is never a guarantee on the weather. And when somebody says, I'm going there because the weather is better, doesn't mean that he doesn't realize that the weather is not necessarily going to be better. And since he cannot say for sure that he knows that the weather will be better, therefore, the halacha is, he has no claim to be able to back. Somebody says to Shliach, say the Kadesh Li Isha Plainus Ma Complaining. Go do Kedushin with this woman in a certain place. Follow the kitchen with Malcolm Acher. And then he went and the Shlich did the Kedushin elsewhere and in Mekudeshes. Says the Mishnah, Harei b'makom Pliny. But if he told the Shlich, she's there, the kitchen with Malcolm Acher, but he did not connect by saying you have to do the Kedushin there, even then if the Kedushin was done elsewhere, the Halacha is Harei z'Mekudeshes. Says the Gemara, But Tanan Nami Gabagitin says the Mishnah, we have a similar Mishnah Gabagitin. Ha'ima, if somebody tells a shliach, Tunu Getzel Ishti B'makam Pleni, give this get to my wife in this location, V'nostan Lo B'makam Acher, and he gives it to her elsewhere, the Loch is Posel. If, however, he said, Harehi B'makam Pleni, he just said, this is where you'll be able to find my wife, there, if Nostan Lo B'makam Acher, he gives it to her elsewhere, the get will be kosher. So ask the Gemara, why do we have to have two Mishnayos that teach us identical halachas? The tzricha. The Ashmin and Gabi Kedushin. If we only had this halacha by Kedushin, the Mokum the Kroy Vikasi, the point of the Kedushin is that he wants to marry her. So that's why he wants it to be only in a specific place. By Hay Asra Rachmelai, Vele Malamilalai. He says, let the Kedushin take place in this location. Because I know this is the location where people like me, and they're going to say nice things about me, and therefore the woman will be prepared to marry me. However, by Asra in this other place, suddenly people don't like me, I'm a Malam Milalai, and they're going to say bad things about me. And that's why he specifically wants the Kedushin to take place in a place where people speak nicely by him, about him. Avol, Gabagitin, when we speak about a get, they're breaking up the marriage. So he doesn't care what people say about him. And therefore, even if he says, I want the get to take place in a certain place, it doesn't necessarily have to take place in that place. Getting divorced can be embarrassing. So he says, in this place, I'm not concerned about getting embarrassed and people saying that I'm a divorcee. But this place, I don't want to be embarrassed. He doesn't care, tzricha. Says the Mishnah, somebody does Kedusha with a woman with the stipulation that she has no Nadarim on her. And then it turns out that she does have Nadarim. The loch is Edom Kedushas. The stipulation wasn't kept. Konsistam, if he married a woman and then it turns out that she has Nadarim, the loch is he could divorce her and he doesn't have to pay ksuba. Amnash en olam mumen. He made a stipulation. Amnash en mumen v'nimtzah sheyesh b'mumen enim mekadeshes. Konsistam. If he didn't say anything, and then it turns out v'nimtzah b'mumen that she has mumen, the loch is teich shalay b'ksuba. What is the definition of a mum? Says the Mishnah. Kol hamumen apsoisu b'kahanim. Any mum that's a disqualification by a koyin that makes him into a mum is going to be a mum by an isha. The Gemara in discussing this, Gemara says, what happens if she went to the Rav and was matan neder? So the halacha is that if the Rav was matan neder, we know when a Rav is matan neder, what he accomplishes is that he's oike haneder mi'kara. He takes away the neder from in the first place. So this woman is not a woman that is considered that she had nedarim, because the nedarim are completely nullified. However, says the Gemara, what will be the halacha if he said, I'm marrying her on the condition that she has no mumen? And she had mumen. But then she went to the doctor, and the doctor was able to heal her from those mumen. Then the halacha is the kedusha is not kedusha. Why? Because there's a fundamental difference between mumen and nedarim. When a chacham is matter a neder, as I just said, what the chacham accomplishes is that the neder is null and void from the beginning. So she ends up not having had nedarim, so the condition was fulfilled. However, a doctor that heals a patient, as wonderful of a job as he can do and should do, it doesn't create that the person never had that issue. The person had the issue, and Baruch Hashem, he was healed. But the condition that the husband made, amnash en ala mumen, that you have no mumen, was not fulfilled because she actually did have the mumen. The interesting question that the Rashba discusses is what would be the halacha if she, at the moment of the marriage, she had the nedarim, and then after they already got married, then she went to the Rav, and he was oikon nedar mi'kara. The moment that we're supposed to look at, says the Rashba, is the moment that the marriage is taking place. And at the moment that the marriage is taking place, she had an adarim. So yes, the Chacham is oikon nedim ikara, but that doesn't change that at the moment of the marriage there was an adarim, and maybe the marriage would therefore be null and void. Says the Gemara, Tanan gab nabe ksubis gab behai gavna. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah, Masech the ksubis staff, ayim beiz or mebeiz, has an identical Mishnah like this. Says the Gemara, Hacha, so the question is, why do we have to have two Mishnayis that teach us the same halacha? Says the Hacha Kedushin Etzuchalei, here the main point is teach us Hilchas Kedushin, but Tanak Subis Ata Kedushin. And then the Masech the ksubis, and the halachas of ksubis that were mentioned in our Mishnah, were only mentioned because we want to really teach the halacha of Kedushin. Hasam Ksubis Istruchalei, there, the main point is to teach us the halacha of ksubis. And the Mishnah Masechta Ksubis that also speaks about the Kedushin aspect, only Kedushin at the ksubis. So the question that many ask is, if that's the case, shouldn't have the Mishnah in Kedushin speak about Kedushin first? Because that's the main purpose of our Mishnah. And the Mishnah Ksubis should speak about Ksubis first, because that's the main subject of that Mishnah. But if you look in the Mishnah and Masechta Ksubis, the Mishnah and Masechta Ksubis mentions Kedusha first. But we're learning now that that really isn't the main purpose of that whole Mishnah. So there are two answers. One answer is that the reason even in Masechta Ksubis, Kedushin is mentioned before Ksubis, because in the order of things, first there's a Kedushin, and then there's a Ksuba obligation. So we're following the order how things take place. Another teretz that I saw is that we know that they learned Mishnayis Torah Shabbat. They learned it by heart. They wanted to keep the wording of Mishnayis similar, it's the same, because then it's easier to memorize. If you're going to have Mishnayis that are similar but not the exact same words, it becomes much more difficult to memorize. And they learned the Mishnayis and they composed the Mishnayis in a way that it should be easy to remember the Mishnayis. Says the Mishnah, Mekadosh Tei Noshim. Somebody is Mekadosh two women, the Shava Pruta, giving them together a Pruta. Aisha Achas, or is Mekadosh one woman by giving her a Pox Meshava Pruta. Abish Shalchlai Savloinus, Lach Mekay, even though he sent her gifts after the Kedushin, and Mekadoshes. We don't assume that he realized that the Kedushin was an invalid Kedushin, and therefore he's sending the Savloinus for the sake of the Kedushin. We don't Einim Kedushis. We say that the gifts were given Machmas Kedushin and Rishonim Shalach. He was relying on the original Kedushin. And as we're learning, that original Kedushin was not a good Kedushin because it was Pox Meshava Pruta. Similarly, the Kain Katan Shekidish, the Katan did a Kedushin. So obviously, the Kedushin of a Katan are not a valid Kedushin. And then after he became a godel, he sent Savloinus. The halacha is that, and the Savloinus were already sent after he's a godel. We assume that the Savloinus was sent for the Kedushin Rishonim, and since those original Kedushin, that original Kedushin was not a good Kedushin, the Savloinus cannot be considered a way of making the Kedushin. So ask the Gemara, we've learned the same principle in our Mishnah three times. Two women with one pruta, one woman with less than a pruta, and a katan. And the question is, the tzricha, why does the Mishnah have to give us three examples of teaching us the same principle? Answers the Gemara, Yishmin and Shava pruta, since in the case where he gave a pruta. But he gave the pruta to two women, so there, the Eidid Kanofik Mimayim Amnei, he thought I spent the pruta. That's why he considers it a good kedushin toy, and he doesn't think that he has to fix it. Avol pox mishava pruta, but with somebody who was mekadosh with pox mishava pruta, ema yodeish en kedushin toysim pox mishava pruta. Everybody knows that a kedushin less than a shava pruta is meaningless. And kikam shadad al savlinus. So what he's sending at the Savloinus, what his intention was, adata the Kedushin Kamashadr, he wants that this Savloinus should create the Kedushin. Yeshmin Hanitarti, Shum the Baim Pruta, Pax Mishav Pruta, Lakum Lela Inchi. People make a mistake about something being worth a pruta when it's really not worth a pruta. Av katan shkiddush, but in a case when the kedushin was done by a katan, where hakel yoidim she'en kedushin katan klum, everybody knows that the act of a katan is meaningless. So there we, Amar, we should perhaps say, the kikom shadis of savloinus, when later he sends the savloinus, after he becomes a gadol, certainly adopted kedushin kamashadir, he's sending them because he wants to accomplish the kedushin with these savloinus, kamashmalon, that we don't say that. Itma, it says the Gemara, there was actually a discussion about this subject in the yeshiva, and says the Gemara, if hunam achoshin was savloinus, if savloinus was sent after an improper kedushin, we are concerned that maybe the savloinus was sent to create a kedushin. The kain amar rabba, and so too is the opinion of Rabba that we're concerned choshin l'savloinus, that the savloinus was sent to create a kedushin. Amar rabba or masnin ashmatan. But how can we say so? Didn't we just learn in our Mishnah that the Mishnah says the afkish shesholach lo savloinus machmikan, that even if savloinus was sent later after an invalid kedushin and mekadeshes, so we don't say that the savloinus was sent to make the kedushin. Amalei Abaya Hosam Kediktani Tama. Our Mishnah says very clearly, the person who sent it was relying on the original kedushin. They're discussing cases that it wasn't so, there was original kedushin. They're talking about a person that was talking to a woman about getting married, and then after they talking about getting married, he sends a savloinus. So in that case, we assume that the savloinus was sent to affect the kedushin. Ikadamri amarava menah minala. What is the basis for me to say the choshin savloinus? Because he said, let's learn our Mishnah. Tirektani tami. In our Mishnah, we learned that why do we ignore the savloinus? Because this person, Machim's Kedushin Risharim Sholach, is sending the Savloinus and he's not to make a Kedushin, because in his mind he's already married from the original Kedushin. Hachu the Torah. That's why he makes such an assumption, and the Savloinus were not at all sent to create a Kedushin. Ha, in other places where they weren't married, and then you send Savloinus, we need to be concerned that the Savloinus was sent to make a Kedushin. Abaya says that our Mishnah is not, that's not the way to understand. The way to understand is, let me buy come up. Loi b'moi ba'alma, the loi nochas l'tayrus kedushin and kalal, in a case where the couple is not yet prepared to get married. So sending savloinus clearly does not make a marriage. Al fila hoch de nochas l'tayrus kedushin. But even in the case of our Mishnah, where kedushin did take place, maybe we should say that the savloinus that's being sent, Ema, maybe we should say that the savloinus that's being sent is have a kedushin, is to create a kedushin. Kamash Malon says Abaya, savloinus are never a kedushin. Says the Ma'ay have a law. So what's the halach regarding choshin savloinus? Says the Gemara, Amarava, Papa. But after the Makachi v'hadim asabli, in a place where the minig is to do kedushin, and only afterwards send savloinus, chashinin. Says the Gemara, by sending savloinus, if there was no kedushin, it's an indication that he wants the savloinus to be the kedushin. But in a place, the sabli, where they send gifts, the hodimakachi, so the fact that savloinus was sent doesn't mean anything, because that doesn't mean in any way that there's a kedushin, because gifts are sent with no kedushin. Ask the Gemara, in the case where Makach v'hadim sabli, in the place where there's a minig that everybody's kedushin, and then they send gifts, so obviously, if they didn't do kedushin, the savloinus are there for the kedushin. Says the Gemara, Lo tzricha, we're thinking about a place, the ruba Makach v'hadim sabli, most people do kedushin and then send gifts. And like we learned, this person didn't do the kedushin, so that's an indication that the savloinus are the kedushin. However, there are some people that send gifts before the kedushin. So the man, the omer that says maybe we should say that he's from the people that send the gifts before the kedushin. That there's no reason to be concerned for that. And if the minig is that most people send savloinus before they could have the kedushin, and then the Sivloinus, if there was no Kedushin, it's an indication that the Sivloinus are the Kedushin. If Adam saw a ksuba with a couple's name in it, is that an indication that they're married? Amalei, so they said, just because there's a ksuba, maybe he prepared the ksuba, maybe the person prepared the ksuba, but he did not in any way yet mean, that doesn't mean that they actually got married. My havala, says the Gemara, depends. Amar Vashi, if in a location they first get married and then they write the ksuba, so we have a ksuba with a couple's name, chashina, that's an indication that they are married. But if it's a place where kasvi v'hadim akachi, where first they write the ksuba and then they get married, lo chashinan, because the fact that there's a ksuba with the couple's name doesn't mean anything. So ask the Gemara, if they're in a place where makachi, where first they get married, v'hadim kasvi, and then they write the ksuba, so obviously the ksuba should be an indication that they are married. Answers the Gemara, but lo tzricha, we're talking about a time and a place, the lo shchicha safra. There aren't soifim available to write the ksuba. Maratem safra desrami. So maybe what happened was there isn't somebody available regularly to write the ksuba. And now a person that can write the ksuba came. So maybe that should be an indication that the ksuba was written, but not because they necessarily were married. They just did it because they had the opportunity to do it. Kamash Malon, we don't need to be concerned for that. And if this is a place where the Makachi, where they get married, for Hada Kasvi Ksuba, and only afterwards they write a Ksuba, it's clearly an indication that they are married, and if not, it's not an indication.